shift the gears with DD Speed Shop. We're back again with tales from the garage where the hot rods reign. Dan and Murr, they're the wrench turning crew. With Danny by their side, the podcast begins. They're talking classic hot rods and new cars too. Life hacks and lifestyle and a little YouTube. It's DD Speed Shop, the podcast.
Dan here, DD Podcast. Murr, want to make sure everyone knows it's episode 4. Big episode today. Murr's here, Danny's behind the camera, and we got the pod dog Steve, because he keeps licking his foot. We can't leave him alone just
Everybody
yet.
Did want to say how well-behaved Steve was.
Steve is a really well-behaved dog.
And for everybody asking, he is a Mastiff Great Dane mix that is brindle in color.
And he's very dumb, but he's very friendly. Anyway, so we got all sorts of stuff that Murr has. It was a duotang, or the Americans call it a folder, but full of stuff here. So we're going to go ahead and start talking about that. Before we get into Murr's, it's only an hour.
I know.
We only have an hour, Murr, so you got to talk fast.
I know. Danny's got the hook. If it's too bad, I'm out. Yep.
But what I want to talk about was I'm selling cars. So we've been talking about it, and this podcast, the way it goes up is pretty soon. So this will be like 3-4 days from when we're doing it. And the videos were actually just a little bit further behind or ahead, however you want to look at it. So cars are selling. So the black 57 is gone, and the two-door hardtop is gone. And we just brought the 56 wagon home minutes ago. I'm still wet from lying under the thing while it rained, hooking up the tow truck. So that was fun. Huh. I picked a nice day for it. It was supposed to rain all weekend.
Yeah.
And I want to bring that 68 Camaro home. And those are the next two on the block. Ultimately, everything is for sale. So people have been asking left and right, is this for sale? Is that for sale? Yes. The answer is yes. I want to keep maybe this one. But my black Nomad, Danny's blue 57 Chevy, and I'm fighting out my gray two-lane car. Originally, I said it wasn't for sale, but maybe there's a number. I'm building another one. I actually found a car to replace it.
Oh, no.
So, but anyways, if anyone's interested, people were getting mad at me that it's like I wasn't personally texting them that I was selling my cars. So I feel like I need to put it out there. So I put it out in a couple of videos. We're saying it here. Go to Danny's website, ddspeechup.ca, buy a shirt like Murr's wearing. And feel free to email Danielle and she'll let you know. But I'm not shipping them. You're in the States. Terribly sorry. Canadian funds. And yeah. Anyway, so the black car, that was sad to see it go, the Black Widow. That was kind of a big car on the channel. But, you know, I'll build another one. And ultimately we ended up with, we built it. Put a bunch of miles on it, drove it to Power Tour, and I've been daily driving it.
Yeah.
Like in the wintertime.
Plowed my driveway.
And yeah, it plows the driveway, but the damn thing wasn't breaking.
Yeah.
So it's hard to make YouTube videos.
When nothing goes wrong.
So,
it was too well built.
Well, yeah. That thing probably had, I don't even know, 15,000 miles on it, 20,000 miles. And the only time it let us down was it last year or the year before when it blew a transmission line?
It was last year right around this time.
It was right around this time.
Yeah.
And we were just driving, and also like, oh, it smells funny. And all of a sudden, oh, we have no gears. And the transmission line had a press-fit hydraulic line, which I spent extra money on because when we were traveling in the States, I'm like, I don't want transmission line issues. I don't want a hose clamp on a barb.
Yeah.
And it blew off. I couldn't believe it. So we changed it and carried on driving it again another 5,000 miles with no issues, but that was sad to see go. But actually, that one I gave a bit of a deal on it, so I got a buyback clause. I got right of first refusal, so I feel like that was worth it.
Yeah.
The hardest part it was weird when we were taking off. Everyone got upset that we were taking off the decals. They said that we should maybe leave them on for the next person.
Decals for the 75% American watching.
They're like, well, let the new owner decide. Blah blah blah. But like, it was kind of sad to take it off because it did feel like you're kind of like erasing like your stamp on the car, but it's not our car anymore.
People were funny. They were saying, well, it's no different than having a t-shirt. I'm like, well, you know, if you're, you know, driving through a school bus unloading kids or something like that.
Yeah, the high-rated
speed shop. Yeah. You know, a little different than wearing a t-shirt. But hey, so we took it off there and it was what it was. And I mean, maybe somebody wanted it, but you know what, for $500, if you want to paint my name on your car, by all means.
And you have photographic record, it's gone. And
fill your boots.
A little too identifiable in the, yeah.
So anyways, that was good. And it went to, like, a localish guy who I kind of, you know, like, friend of a friend, and now we're becoming kind of buddies and stuff like that. So I'm happy with that one. It's fine. I know it went to a good home.
The best part was when we could hear him driving away.
So, yeah, I let him just, like, I guess, you know what, I'll keep the insurance on it. You can drive it home. Just be good. So he pulls on the street.
Wah! I literally, we just sat down to eat, and I turned to Dan. I'm like, it feels less sad now. Like, it went to the right guy.
Yeah, he immediately texts me, this thing's awesome. I'm like, yeah, it was a good car. But anyways, so that one, it's...
Photo radar ticket on the way.
Well, we'll see. You know, it's been 3-4 days. We'll see if 2 more days we get it. But so anyways, then the 57 hardtop, that one was funny. So we had a few guys kind of looky-loo at it. A few people wanted to kind of trade and stuff. And the problem with that car was it looked rough. And I think a lot of people were trying to grease me a little bit, trying to, well, you know, it's pretty rough, but I know.
Yeah.
I know the work that went into it.
Everybody knows the work.
So does the 18 video.
Oh, yeah. A few people watched it. So anyways, but I mean, it looked rough, so it's the classic. I felt like I was, you know, when you go to the auction, the guy's there, like, throwing the shifter around. Yeah. Oh, the visor's
broken. Yeah, that's right. This is no good.
That was like, well, remember when we went to, like, at this Nomad, and there was a guy there with his buddy, and his buddy's, like, kicking the tires and doing this, and he starts chatting you up. He's like, oh, this floor pan.
That's
not
a terrible car.
Terrible car.
It's the Nomad.
Yeah.
Nomad. Yeah, when I was looking at this thing, yeah, there was a guy.
Oh, you have to put so much money into this to get this car.
He was really trying to talk us out of it.
I'd like to see that guy again. Yeah, he was really giving me the old, oh, you better know what you're doing getting involved. In this one, Steve, get out of the way there.
No, Steve. No,
so,
Steve.
Anyways,
no. No, Steve, come here.
Give him a book.
Come here, bug.
Strong like tractor. Yeah. Was it strong like bull, smart like tractor? But anyway, so the 57 hardtop. So, you know, a few looky loos, stuff like that. Hopefully, that banging noise.
The cameras
on the table.
Are moving. Steve.
We've got all sorts of problems here. Steve, get over here, buddy. It's getting worse.
Not that he can see this.
Steve,
but
come here.
Remember when everyone was like, he was so well behaved last week?
We jinxed it. Okay, just be chill. So the 57 hardtop. We're gonna get to it. So, you know, looky-loos and all that stuff. A few people actually kind of wanted to trade and stuff, which was cool. And then a lot of people reached out saying, oh, cool car, whatever. This guy reached out. He says, hey, you know, this and that. I'm interested in it. And I'm in New Brunswick. I forget what the town is. New Brunswick, like, on the ocean.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, okay, yeah.
Like,
cool.
Where the Brooklyn was made.
Yeah. So, like, oh, yeah, right on, buddy, this and that. And he goes, okay. And he says, and he sends me a little paragraph message saying, I'm serious about the car. I'd like to give you the money and fly down and drive it home. And I go, he's like, can we talk about it? So I send my number. I'm like, yeah, no problem. So I call him or whatever. I said, hey, just so you know, like, have you watched the videos? He says, oh, yeah, I watched all the videos. You want to drive it home? I said. He's like, well, me and my buddy want to have, like, a roadkill style adventure. I'm like, well,
you'll have an adventure.
It'll be an adventure. I said, so, I mean, I gave him the rundown. I said, like, mechanically, like, it's sound, but, I mean, it's got miscellaneous motor. You know, miscellaneous transmission, miscellaneous rear end. I said,
and
like,
no test miles.
Like, no, yeah, so I went around the block. Yeah. He's like, yeah, no, that sounds good. so he's a lobster fisherman, as it turns out. I don't know what his buddy does, but we were talking or whatever. So they wired me the money. Like, super trusting, because he was like, well, I need the title to get, you know, insurance and all that to bring it back. I said, well, I mean, that's great, but I'm not giving up the title till I've got cash in my pocket. He sounded like a great guy on the phone there, but, you know, what can I do? He goes, no problem. Can I just wire you the money? I said, okay. So he wired me half one day, half the next. So I was now holding, as of today, I was holding all the money and the title and the keys and the car.
The thing that you're never supposed to do.
So I'm like, whoa. So I went down and I donated like $18 and I had it priority shipped with tracking, like with the title and all that. So yeah. Here you go. I sent it all off to him. So I don't know when they're coming back, but so the 57's in storage today. That's what we were doing. We went and picked up the 57 wagon to bring home, so it's next in the block.
56 wagon.
56, what did I say?
57.
It's hard to keep track. The 56 four-door wagon is home now, and the 57 two-door hardtop is in storage. And I don't know when they're coming. I said, hey, I'm going to put it in storage. Is that cool? I said, yeah, no problem. So at some point, they're going to fly out. I told them, hey, they could, you know, whatever I got, you guys can use. Like, that's such a crazy story that I want to be involved in it.
And,
so.
And come by with a suitcase full of lobster on your way.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We might be able to work it. I like lobster. So I'm sure that'll be coming up here. I mean, if they're cool, I'd like to film it and stuff like yeah. that. I mean, the car's pretty good. And, you know, I was looking through. I've been collecting parts. I'm just going to give them, like, you know, it doesn't have a cooling fan. Well, I found one. It'll go in there. And just as I'm looking for stuff, like, you know, spare tire, what, like, whatever I could do to give it to them. Yeah. So.
It's cool to be a part of, like, their, like, that's a big adventure.
Well, you know what's making me think, though, like, I guess, I mean, not that I think it's that crazy. I drive that thing. I just would be expecting it would break down. You carry on with life. But the, like, that kind of roadkill vibe adventure and stuff. And we've kind of done it a lot in the last couple of years, a lot of miles and stuff, which has been, I guess, tested to a certain extent. But, I mean, the Nomad and the Chevy 2 only had 300 or 400 miles on them before they went to wherever.
Yeah, but so, a little more than three.
Yeah, that one definitely needs a little bit of love. But, I mean, if it's going to work, it's going to work.
And for the folks that don't know, New Brunswick, from where we is a long way away.
It's, well, it'd be like driving from Fargo to New York City or something like that,
or maybe a little further,
yeah.
Yeah.
Or, I guess, Maine or something like that. Yeah. New York's not even all the way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right on the, as far as you can go east. And we're right in the middle. So it's it's a drive. But and they're going through, like, Ontario. They aren't going through the U.S. So, like, Ontario, like, those are some rough roads.
Yeah.
So, well, but, hey.
It'll be an adventure.
Oh, you know what? One way or another, they're going to remember it. Hopefully they still like me in the end. They seem super nice right now. And they love the car and they watch the videos. But we'll see when I'll text them in Kenora. How's it going? Take this pile of crap back. So, but yeah, no, I just thought that was, I like that. People are like, it's one thing when you watch on, you know, YouTube and stuff like that, the guys do, you know, revive and drive and will it run like 300 miles home?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, 300 miles, if you had to tow it, I don't know, $1,000, $1,200.
It's not 3,017 kilometers.
Yeah.
33 hours.
Yeah, 33 hours of driving.
That.
So it's one thing if you...
And I mean, that's just to, like, New Brunswick itself. I don't know where these people live, but if it's anywhere else, they're
in for an
adventure. That's
gotta be... I mean, if you're putting 1,000 miles on a day, that's a lot. Or 1,000 kilometers.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. So, I mean, it's... It would be 3 or 4 days of straight drive. Did you guys drive there or you flew there when you went?
We flew.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a...
Oh, it's a...
That's a drive. But, hey...
Ontario and Quebec are big.
Yeah.
Big.
Yeah, it's like driving through two Texases
or
something like that.
That's right. It's... Oh.
But, hey, you know, I just... That guy, like, you said all that. Yeah, this is what I want to do. I said, sure. And 20 minutes later, there's money in my bank account. I'm like, this is a scam.
But, we were talking about it because you said it, right? Like, the thing you're not supposed to do is let it so that one person is holding the cards. But we did say, like, he would know where to find us.
Well,
and
I guess more to lose reputation-wise than he does to screw a guy over.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there you go.
Yeah.
And but I was concerned because if this one ends up going, I mean, I'm thinking, well, there's no way I could. Like, who would give the money for this to some guy without having the title and stuff?
Give the title and stuff without all the money?
Well, I am never. Like, yeah, if you don't have a briefcase of cash, you're not taking this.
Anybody that's ever watched any of Ed Bullion's shows knows. Don't do this.
So I thought that was kind of interesting, but it all worked out. The guys were super friendly. They've done it before. They did one in, they said they bought some truck. I think it was in Timmins or something like that. Like, that was a long drive. I'm like, I'll just double it, and you're there. So, but the guy was saying, I mean, out East Coast, I mean, that's like all those New York, they salt the roads like crazy, and then all the, like, right on the water, like lobster fishermen. So all the salt water just in the air.
Yeah,
like he's like stuff just falls apart,
dissolves.
So it's like. You know, around here, you got to do, you know, rockers and floor pans and, like, lower fender stuff. From there, it's, like, door handle down. Rotten.
Now,
so
many years ago when I worked for Volvo, Quebec, if they salted the roads, they kept brake lines, pre-bent brake lines right from the factory in stock.
Yeah.
And a guy come in for a brake job, and they'd take a pair of side cutters and cut off the caliper, throw it away. Put all new lines, all new calipers, all new pads, all new rotors every single time, and that was it.
Like, well, and there is something said for that. I mean, a daily driver is crazy. I'm never using one piece of brake line from a 55 Chevy. Because why would you? You just throw it all in the garbage and start fresh. But on your 4-year-old car with like 100K on it that needs a service, like... Well, that's something else.
Well, I hope he's got an extra $450 to buy a GoPro or something.
I think they're going to film it. I hope they do. I mean, if they don't, we got to just give him a GoPro and say, just film it and mail it back and we'll make a video. Because, like, My God.
Just so that we can watch it.
Yeah.
Oh, they need something there. Like, post Instagram, I don't know what it is, but I want to make sure.
Did he have, like, a pretty heavy, like, accent? Like, East Coast? Because they've got their own.
Definitely East Coaster.
Yeah.
Yeah. He wasn't crazy.
People think we sound Canadian. I don't know if you've ever heard, like, a New Brunswick or a Newfie talk.
Well, he wasn't Newfie.
He liked the care.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the care.
It's a nice care. Yeah.
Well, whatever. So, yeah, that's pretty exciting.
Well. In my experience, when we were down east, the friendliest people in the world.
Oh, God, they were nice.
Yeah, so.
They were super nice and just good attitude. Oh, yeah, we're having a good time. I'm like, this thing might blow up. He's like, eh. I'm like, okay. And then the one guy was asking, he's like, well, you want that wagon there? I'm like, well, I don't know. I said, well, maybe we'll just buy that and tow it home or tow it. Like, wow, guys, whatever you want to do, man. If the money's in the account, she's yours. Like,
yeah.
It seems like you're meeting also, like, the right people for those cars, which I know is a big deal, like, a big part of selling for you.
Oh, I would not sell to a...
You'd say no to the wrong person.
Oh, a guy's just going to flip it or do something like that. Or I learned that, actually, because I sold that to Toronto, actually. I sold a guy that short bed.
Right.
And I'd done, it was a 70, I don't know, 69, 70 regular cab that we shortened up and, you know, short bed. And LS swapped and sold it. And the guy who bought it was actually great. His whole deal was he came from Toronto, same thing where cars are rotten. He came to like Manitoba, Saskatchewan. He had a big wedge trailer, picked up three trucks, and brought them back. I think he even bought the trailer here, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
He drives back to Ontario where everything is rotten, sells it all, and ends up with one car for free, yeah. And pays for his trip. Which I was like, oh, that's not a bad deal. But that truck. He brought it home, sold it the same weekend he had it, and it got sold two or three times in the matter of a week.
Yeah.
And every time it was up, I kept getting tagged in it. And to his credit, he did sell it as a cut down short bed. Like, I think I sold it for $8,000 or $9,000, which at the time was, I think, a lot of money, but now it's nothing.
Yeah.
I think he sold it for like 12 or 13. But then it was listed for like $20,000. The guy was trying to be like original short bed, new box size with an LS in it.
Yeah.
And then everyone was like, hey, this is, it was great for me. The video got tagged a bunch of times.
Yeah. Well, they're like, I remember you getting the emails. Going, look, how much is it today?
I was like, no, but by the time it ended, someone paid twice as much for that truck as I did. But it was, you know, in a place where everything is rotten.
Yeah.
And I mean, that was the classic new bedsides, you know, new rockers, floors, whole deal.
Like it was a decent, solid truck for here, but... In Ontario, that's like never seen one.
Yeah, yeah. Well, since 1974.
Yeah,
exactly. So, but yeah, there you go. It's buying solid cars. It's been a while since I sold anything. I'm actually kind of enjoying it, dealing with the people and the looky loos and the people kicking tires and a guy and his kid or whatever came and looked at it. Listen, well, you do this. No, I'm not moving a penny. Like, I know what it is. It's priced fair.
Yeah.
We'll see you later, you know? Like,
did you get to go, I know what I got?
No. But it was just like this. It's about space. It's not about money at this point. So we're just trying to, you know, clear some space out and carry on, maybe end up with a little bit of property out of town or something like that. But if it happens today or tomorrow or next year, that's fine. I'm just in the mood right now And every year at this time, I'm like, I should sell stuff, and I never do.
Yeah.
And then I bring it home, and I do exactly what I did to both those cars, where I fluff them up, you wash them, you do this, and I'm like, oh, this is a nice car.
Yeah.
And then you don't sell it. And then about August, September rolls around, like, oh, maybe I should sell this thing. Yeah. And the wind's at everyone's sail.
Yeah.
It's time to start putting stuff away, and no one wants to buy it.
Yeah.
So right now, like,
very narrow window of opportunity in the great north here.
So you got... You know, the month of, I mean, April's even a little early, but May, June.
Yeah.
And that's when you're going to sell stuff and get the best dollar, I think. So,
yep.
Yeah, that's my rant.
So with the new car you're buying, maybe it's your first car, maybe it's your 18th car, but there's probably specific tools you're going to want for those cars.
Oh, and Murr has a couple.
Has a couple. Yes. Well, this is actually Danny's idea, you know, about what tools should you have and... What is your favorite tool and things like that? So that, well, okay, we'll just jot that down and compare notes.
Well, Murr bought me, like, when I kind of started being in the garage a little bit more. Murr did buy me like a little toolbox and filled it with tools that I would assume that Murr thought Danny would need these tools if she needed tools.
And painted it pink.
And painted it pink.
Yeah.
So he just wanted to, he wants to set us all up for success, you guys.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Well, as always, this is an experiment. We'll see if that's what people want to see or they don't. So there you go. So the discussion that we had started this off is Snap-on and Mack, depending on what it is, that's the Ford Chevy debate, who's, you know, who's his best type of thing. They're the Cadillac of tools. And they are really expensive. And, I mean, when I first got into that, I'd say, well, it's this nice Snap-on screwdriver, and it was $25. And, well, at the time, you could buy a set of Craftsman screwdrivers for $9. So is it worth it? So that's really what started the whole thing. And this is, of course, many years ago. And now, the off-brand stuff, the Princess Auto, the Canadian Tire, what's the American one, though? The Harbor Freight and stuff like that. The tools are decent. And if you're starting, you don't have $150 to buy a Snap-on ratchet, probably. So
I bet it's more than $150 now.
Well, you could be right. I haven't bought one in a long time. But, you know, what is decent? Now, also, back then, when you bought a Craftsman wrench, they were big and clunky.
Yeah.
And there was a reason why you went for the Snap-on tools. When you're working with them all day long, it makes a big difference. I mean, if you're putting together your barbecue, anything will work. But if you're using it all day long, you need the right stuff.
Well, they were twice as thick.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Like,
yeah.
It was unbelievable. Some of those cheapy wrenches you get.
Yeah. Trying to get the bolts, the nuts off a carburetor, the box end wouldn't physically fit. It was just too big.
Yeah.
That type of thing. So those are worth, you know, what you need when you need it. And I've always got some specialized things that, like the Snap-on or the Mack, that's the only one that will work. When I used to do air conditioning, one of the fittings was a 15/16 head, which is quite big. Underneath the dashboard, a 15/16 wrench is about this long. That doesn't work very well. So I have a 15/16 wrench that's 6 inches long. The only one that makes that was Snap-on. And I used it 100 times, and that's just
well.
What
and
we
now
need.
You can actually buy those.
Now you can,
like,
now,
but at the time,
yeah.
So you're either buying a wrench and cutting it,
yes.
Which I mean, I'm sure probably when you were in the, you know, in the trade and all that, cut homemade tools was probably pretty common.
Yeah.
Where you just, oh, I'll just zip this in half,
right. Yeah,
and go from there. Yeah.
So it's you're never going to put enough leverage to do anything on there because it's an air conditioning fitting. It was tight, no big deal. But that's what it is. So now you can do a lot better. And especially one of the things I sort of thought about this tool thing is for people either getting started with tools or their kids or something like that. And what do you need? And for not a lot of money, you can get some pretty decent tools now.
Yeah.
I have to say they're not garbage at all, type of thing. So that's my view on it. Everybody will have their own thing and. You know, you don't know what you don't know until you figure it out yourself.
Well, and you know what you can buy now is they sell those kind of 700-piece sets,
yeah.
Which has kind of a little bit of everything in it.
Yeah.
You can kind of figure out what you're going to use and what you're not. And the stuff that, well, for me, that I lose, that'll go buy a nice one of because I use it all the time versus the crap.
Or like, the 9/16 wrench come in the 10-pack.
Yeah, yeah. I buy a lot of 9/16 wrenches. That, half-inch, 13s, yeah, I keep them. And, vice grips.
Yeah.
Name brand vice grip.
Well, that's...
Is that on your list?
That's on my list.
Because if the vice grip, if you have to push the little lock towards the handle, do that. Then throw it in the garbage. Because it's junk.
Yep. That's one of those things that there is no better than that real vice grip. And
if it's on an Irwin box.
Yeah, then you're not. Yeah, it's bought out by somebody different now. But, I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And I always have, in my toolbox, I've got two vice grips brand new, a little one like a 6-inch pair and a 9-inch pair, and I keep those for when you've broken this, you've broken the easy out, you're in bad sorts.
Yep.
You get one chance at this, you pull out the brand new vice grips and they come through, boy, I gotta say, 8 times out of 10, brand new pair of vice grips will get you on the grove.
And a little heat.
And a little heat,
and you're really, if that F's up, you really got a problem.
I feel like if Mer says to buy something new, like, you really should buy it new.
And vice grips are, like, the vice grip brand is, like, they're not cheap.
No.
Like,
no.
You're paying $30-$40 for just a vice grip, whatever.
But money well spent if it works.
Oh, yeah. And again, like, Yeah, I'm terrible at it because the vice grip I'll use for getting an easy out as well as welding beside it or welding it to a panel are the same. They're all miscellaneous there. But every Christmas, I get new vice grips. Yeah. So it really works out. We're still pretty good right now. Another couple months from now, they get a little rounded out.
But. Yeah. Well, it's just a trickle-down theory. And once you use it a couple of times, you buy another new pair, put that in the place of honor, and everything takes one step down, and now you get the ones there's no jaws left and weld all over them.
Yeah.
And that's good for putting panels on. But, you know, like we've got, I don't know how many you got here. I don't know. You probably have lots of vice grips.
You
couldn't find them. But
yeah.
I know for sure I have 25 pair in assorted sizes.
Well, they don't go bad.
They don't go bad.
I mean, they just become less useful for, like, if you have to grab a bolt. But for locking panels together or whatever you're doing, they're great.
That's it.
And as long as you don't lose them.
Yeah. Then they...
I mean, have them in your car. Like, I mean, I have them in the tow truck. I have them in every car. Like, it's like a Leatherman and a vice grip. And you can really accomplish a lot.
Yeah, you can rule the world with those
like,
tools.
A couple of chunks of wire, like, you really got her
covered. That's the DD Speed Shop starter kit.
Yeah.
Vice grips, Leatherman, and some wire.
I mean, a Leatherman, a 9/16, a half inch, some wire, and a pair of vice grips.
Duct tape.
And a little duct tape. Like, you really... You're making it to Nova Scotia or New Brunswick. We should make those guys a kit.
Yeah.
I'll buy them a brand new pair of vice grips and be like...
And a roll of duct tape.
Yeah, you got her.
Carry on. Yep. Well, yeah, that's, you know, that's the view, I think, of those type of things, you know. And after you've been doing it for 10 years, you'll know which ones you really, really need. And, you know, from talking to a guy, too, you know. If you're into 5/6/7s, there's lots of specialized stuff that... You know, and you're doing this, you need this thing.
Yep.
Or if you're into Toyotas, this is what you need. So, but the basic stuff is, you know, at one time they were so shitty, they wouldn't fit, or worse, is they would break. I remember taking the starter off, and it was one of these shit ones. I thought, oh, it's a starter, it'll be easy. Broke, drove my knuckles into the thing, and did I bleed. And it was just because I was too lazy to get up and go and get the real one, and... Yeah, so
well, I mean, we've all done it where you have like a small wrench with a jack handle on it.
Yes, indeed.
Like, you got to be able to kind of pull her back, and if you got your whole body on it, like, oof.
Yeah.
And I mean, I would do that 10 out of 10 times on the Snap-on.
Yeah.
But who knows where you got it from, you know, twice as wide, no finish on it.
Yeah. I got to say probably in all the time between as a mechanic, as a teacher, I think I broke one Snap-on wrench and doing something stupid.
Yeah.
And they still warranty it.
The only time you break a Snap-on tool, I think, is when you use a flathead screwdriver as a chisel. Which, well, you never tell the person.
Nope.
I was just loosening that flathead and it shattered.
Yeah.
The 12-inch one, ain't you? I don't know. I
was putting together this here picnic table and she flew right apart. I think not.
They get it, though. You just gotta weasel and deal them a little bit.
So I went on my list... what Danny said, well, what are your favorite tools? So I've got a couple, so I mean, I'll do one and you can do one and then we'll go back and forth.
Let's do that.
Let's do that. Does the internet like that? We'll try. So one of my favorite ones is a 3/8 Snap-on ratchet flex head, and I've had it for 40 years, and that is the go-to tool. Awkward places, lots of leverage, lasts forever. And it's... You'll get that when they toss me in the hole.
Lucky me. Well, I don't have one, so I need it.
You will?
Let's get on this.
You got one. You just don't physically own it.
Yeah. I'll just steal it like the engine crane.
Yeah.
For me, so I was actually the other day, I was talking to Danny about it. So we were talking about like this garage versus the other garage. And the other garage, you helped me put it together 18, 20 years ago, whatever it was. Like, there's outlets everywhere and stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I used to use them all the time. Extension cords like crazy. Well, now, cordless tools. Like, honestly.
Oh.
Like, I have... I mean, on the one wall, I've got my little, you know, power pack, you know, charging deal. Like, I'm a DeWalt guy. But, I mean, the amount of stuff I plug in now, I mean, my phone, my TV, the internet, like, there's probably more luxury things plugged in this garage now than we actually use for tools.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're polishing and some things like that, a plug-in tool you can't go really wrong with. But, I mean, my favorite tool is my angle grinder. Cordless. I mean, that DeWalt thing.
Yeah.
I don't know how many zip discs I put through that thing.
Yeah, a lot.
But I mean, no joke. I mean, I buy the packs that are. I think they're 250 or something like that. I could. I know how. Like, I've probably gone through 20,000 zip disks, yep. some ridiculous number on that thing.
Well, how many per floor pan times number of floor pans?
Yeah, like it's unbelievable. Yeah. Like it's, and it just goes and goes and goes. And I mean, that's it's that one I have now. It's the brushless one. Well, the brake doesn't work on it anymore. Like it just kind of. It still gives her. It's so hot you can burn your hands sometimes, and it just keeps going. Like it's unbelievable.
Yep. Yeah, that cordless
versus,
tools.
I mean, that was, I guess, cordless is your version of air back in the, you know, because I remember your place, like, you have a whole bottom drawer full of air tools, like ratchets and all that crap, which is useless now.
Hardly.
I'm sure you paid a bunch of money for Blue Point, Snap-on.
Snap-on ratchet for doing plugs. I have two. I have one that's high strength, one that's low strength, you know, one for light stuff, one for heavy stuff, and haven't used them in 20 years.
You can't throw them out.
I can't. Oh, no. Can't throw them out.
When I take that flex head, just know.
Yeah.
Those are going
out. Those are going out, yeah.
Because I'm not keeping them.
What is this? How do you plug this in? This is a funny thing. It's got an airline on it.
It drives me nuts because I spent the biggest compressor you could buy at Princess Auto, I bought. Yeah. And it's just for
painting.
For painting.
Yeah.
For painting and for body work. Because that still is battery can't do it.
Battery can't do it for that. That's right. And something else you should just mention. To the nice folks out there, when about the garage is the outlets every 4 feet, because you did your garage just the way I did mine, is you had a couple of wall switches that shuts everything off. Because when I started, you and Ted were little, and you didn't want to have a chance of some leaving a tool plugged in and somebody do that. So I have them by the door. You flip the switch off, all the power's dead, lights are dead, that's it. And that's worth, you know, the $5 extra it costs for switches.
No, it's a hassle. I'm dead against that.
Yeah?
Because we go over there to borrow tools when you're out of town. And Danny, I say, hey, shut the door and the lights. She shuts everything off. Guess what that does? Shuts all your cameras off, your internet, all these things.
Well, that's a Danny problem, like so many others.
Wow. All I'm trying to do is make sure we don't burn the place to the ground.
I guess I better put the masking tape over the switches the next time we go over.
Well, that's what Dan used to do next door until I like finally muscle memory not to flick off certain ones.
What else you got? What else?
Another thing is my BFH 2-pound cross peen hammer. That is the thing that if it ain't going to move, is going to move if you hit it with that. Now, I am a bit of a hammer aficionado, you might say. How many hammers have I got, Dan?
Lots.
I paid for sure 30 hammers.
But well, I like hammers too.
Yeah, that great big one is good for whatever ails you. Yeah, persuading things that don't want to move, you get a real good shot at it. There's not much that says no to that.
Well, so I guess I got probably two more here that are my favorites. But this lift, which is something I didn't know I needed, and I didn't think. I mean, we talked about it forever, and we're in just an 8-foot ceiling. So, like, there's not much. Steve, could you sit down, buddy? Mm-hmm. So, you're limited. I mean, definitely. I will say, though, this lift with a Tri-5 Chevy, when it's basically at its max, the roof is touching the roof. So, I took the garage door operator and all that out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it has its place. I mean, obviously, if you want to do anything in, like, under the car, transmission work, exhaust, you know, drive shaft, all those things are kind of tough. Steve, come here, buddy. But body work, even just brakes. Yeah. I mean, and you know, talk about saving your back and like lying around on like, you know, on a creeper, getting your hair cut in the wheels, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So much nicer. I'm a bit of a taller guy, but basically I can be on my little rolly stool and be under it and kind of basically get to everything. I mean, if I was 2 or 3 inches shorter, like for you, it'd be perfect. You wouldn't even knock your head in nothing or whatever.
You are a lot cleaner now. Oh. Like when you come in for the night, like but you're still very dirty, but not very, very, very dirty, which is nice.
And I mean, I think I paid, it was a grand or $1,200 or something. Like it was used. Yeah. And brand new. I mean, I always saw them because like they make them knock off whatever. Yeah. I think they're 25, 26, 27, Canadian.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, I should get one. But I didn't. You got to pay shipping. But then like Dave got one, right?
Yeah.
And it was supposed to be like $3,000 by the time the dust settled. But I tell you, like they're only 6,000 pounds. So you got, you know, you're not lifting your 3-quarter ton truck. But for your hot rod, your whatever, like unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like,
money well spent.
I wish I would have bought one many years ago.
Yeah. And that's back to me, the blue wrench.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say that too.
You can't, that's the oxyacetylene rig. You absolutely can't function without that. You don't need it very much, but if you're working on old cars, you will need it, and there is no other tool that will do that. Induction heater is pretty good.
Yeah.
That's a newer version of it, but there's still lots of places you cannot get it in. You need the torch.
And it's not as hot right away, stuff like that, yeah. For sure.
And that's the thing. Now, that's a bit more of an advanced tool. You got to be careful, that's for sure. But it is, if you're going to work on cars, you will have one.
Yeah.
Within, depending how serious you are, within 5 years.
I mean, I got the one you got me was when I was 18 or something like that. Yeah. I still have it.
Yeah.
And I mean, and you can buy the little tanks. You don't have to have a contract. Like, I think now I don't know what I have now. I might be on a contract for bigger ones.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I use it enough, whatever. But mm-hmm. the first 10 or 15 years, I mean, it was just like for that one brake line or for that one whatever. And I mean, it was probably a $600 kit, $700 kit with tanks and gas.
Yeah.
And you use it once. Yeah. And it's paid for itself.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no way you're getting certain things off without heat and like exhaust manifolds, like anything like that that's rusty.
Yeah.
I've taken apart some stuff that's so thin you can hardly believe it. But if you heat it up nice and red and you're gentle, you can take it off and you save yourself hours and hours.
Oh, so this is just the torch.
Yeah.
What did you call it?
Blue wrench.
I was very, very confused these last few moments.
When it goes sideways, you just hold the gas and it just cuts everything. The molten metal and it's blue and it fixes itself.
It burns with a blue flame, so that's what they call it, the blue wrench. Yeah.
But it's just a torch.
It's a torch. Don't say just a torch.
Okay, so it's not just a torch.
We're not talking like a little handheld butane.
It's the,
the two tanks, like oxyacetylene or whatever. Yeah, it makes a world of difference.
Yeah, it'll come off or you'll melt it into bits. Either way.
Okay, well then, how many more you got?
That's it. That was
okay,
my
Okay, so I got my last three. One there. And people ask me this all the time, what welder do I use? And I always say the best welder you can afford. Now, I happen to have, I've got one of them. I got a Miller, I got a Lincoln, we got some Chinese ones. It drives me nuts. The Miller guys won't even respond to an email when I send it to them.
Yeah,
and it's in the background of every friggin' video. Yeah. I don't know how many spools of wire I put in that thing. That thing, that welder, I mean, I got to say, like, I am a Miller guy because it is so good. I mean, I don't know how many, like, I've used it so much.
I am shocked. Every time that thing fires up,
it's still quiet. The fan's not howling.
Nope.
The only thing I broke on that, I mean, other than consumables, but the trigger.
Yeah.
That burnt the trigger out where it was, so many tack welds. Yeah. So I put you go down and they gave me, it was like $65 and you plug a new trigger in and it's fine.
You're good
again.
To go.
Yeah. And I'm just like,
how old is it?
Well, I had that before we were together, so I bought, it's a Miller 215 Multimatic. I bought it was brand new, and it was expensive at the time. It was a big deal for me to buy that. That was probably my first good tool I ever really bought.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's got to be 10 years ago,
something like that. Yeah.
And I think it was, like, $2,500 or something at the time, which was, like, all the money. It was, like, all the money. And then thinking, like, oh, God, this is crazy. I can't believe I spent that. But, man, is it...
Yeah,
paid for itself.
That thing takes a licking, boy. I
don't even understand. And it welds anything. It welds like just rusty metal together and stuff. Like that's my opinion. I mean, again, clearly not sponsored because I'm still.
Because they won't even return your emails.
I still can't believe I paid for
it. You still buy it. But, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Speaking of good tools, Murph, this is a good one.
You have something written down.
I brought a piece of paper today.
Okay.
So. Not Miller Welders, I might add. We have a sponsor on the podcast.
A sponsor, you say?
So I was thinking to myself, what sponsor could we use that could really benefit yourself and probably some of our listeners? Blue Chew. That's pretty good. So this episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Let's talk about sex, Mer. Oh. And
this
girlfriend.
Is what I wanted. I wanted to talk about this with my father-in-law and my boyfriend. Oh,
hey.
Yeah.
Hey, we're trying to put a few shekels in our pocket here. Remember the days when you were ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get the extra confidence in bed. Listen up. BlueChew.com. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra, but in a chewable tablet. Make sure you pay attention to that. At a fraction of the cost. You can take them anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead or be ready whenever the opportunity arises. This is awesome. The best part, all done online, so no doctor's visits, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. Honestly, that's actually pretty good. It's all based online, so you can set up online appointments with, I guess, a doctor or nurse, whatever.
You sign up at BlueChew.com, and then you consult with one of their licensed medical providers.
So you don't got to do anything. You can be at home on the couch. It's not embarrassing, nothing like that. The packages come right to your door in discreet packaging. You can't really go wrong. Blue Chew wants to help you have better sex. Discover your options at BlueChew.com. Chew it and do it. Now, here's the best part. We have a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew for free. For Freemer. As a guy who likes stuff for free, let's see what we can do here for you. So BlueChew.com, promo code DDSS at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. BlueChew.com, promo code DDSS. Receive your first month free. BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. We thank Blue Chew so much for sponsoring this podcast. I think it's hilarious we managed to get a sponsor. And those guys, we're done the ad read. They were so good to deal with. It was unbelievable. Yeah. they had a good idea. We were like, oh, we're doing this. Here we go. We got a few older people watching here. Maybe they could use it. And hey, if you need it, you need it.
It's a normal thing. I don't really think it's a big deal.
Who would have thought? You want to be with your old lady, you can sponsor and help out Dee Dee's Beach Shop, of all things. That's the easiest way to help us out.
That's what's going through your mind at the time.
And we hope you think of us. Of us every time.
Okay, back to tools.
Oh, I need a minute.
Here's what happened. So we were doing the podcast, and now so we got through three. And Murr got on us. He says, if I'm not starting to make some of this, I'm out. And we're we can't lose half the coasts. So I had to reach out. So if you have any issues there, feel free to run it to Murr at whocares.com.
And really, in all honesty, we're four podcasts in now. They didn't have to offer to sponsor us. They're really, being so sweet and doing this for us.
They're supportive. I loved it.
If you guys want to support someone that supports us, they're a great one.
There you go. Let's talk hammers. Not that kind.
We're talking tools.
Yeah.
Not that kind. All right.
What do you got for us?
Okay. The Danny suggestion, what things, does somebody have to have? So I chose for this week's topic, I have a topic.
We should do a tool of the week or something like that.
A tool of the week? Well, I don't know.
Where I can find two tools of the week.
BlueChew.com. Anyways.
Okay. All right. Well, this is good. That's a good idea, Danny. So do you want a tool a week, something like that? If it's good, fine. If it's awful, I think you'll tell us.
Well, you know what would be good, though, is because between the two of us, we kind of let the cat out of the bag, unfortunately, a little while ago of where to spend some of your money. And I will say, I've been doing it for a while now. You've been doing it forever. So you understand when to maybe spend a few bucks. It's tough out there.
Yeah.
So if you're going to let $500 out of your wallet, you don't want a pile of junk tool. And I've bought my fair share of crap where you go, this is junk, or whatever it may be.
Well,
so.
And the price isn't always mean you get the best.
No.
It's shocking to me, but we're going to talk about torque wrenches, and then we have a surprise tool.
Oh.
Dan and Danny don't know anything about this.
Oh.
And I said, Dan, can I do something completely different? And he basically said, do whatever you want. So this is going to be an experiment for me. Can I do something that's completely off the wall?
And then Murr giggled for 10 minutes once we said yes.
That's right. Yes.
I'm excited.
They were over for dinner, hoovering up the grub. That's a good time when he's dumb, fat, and happy. I want to do something silly. Sure, go ahead and do that.
Do whatever you want.
So we'll see.
Worst case, you piss off the internet. I do it every day.
Yeah. Torque wrenches first.
Okay.
And this is one of those things that, especially for beginners, really a good deal to get the idea of how tight should things be. And for
get the feel of it.
To get the feel of it. And for just a little hint, what I used to do for the students is we invested a few bucks in a bunch of bolts and nuts and have the kids tighten it up until it breaks. Because if you've done that, you know what that feeling is. And there's always, can I do it a little tighter? So if they do that, they break it off. It costs you 39 cents for a nut and bolt. Maybe you don't do
well,
it in your 55 Chevy.
When it's in a customer's car on the company dime and it goes righty-loosey,
yes.
You have problems.
Yeah. So it's well worth it to just get a couple of nuts and bolts and have your children, male or female, try that and just to see what it's like.
That's actually not a bad idea.
And
that's a great idea.
Yeah, it's non-critical. And there you go. But what you should have is torque wrenches. So I have brought a selection of torque wrenches.
Well, the first torque wrench ever built, by the looks of it.
This is called a bending beam torque wrench. For those of you listening on the radio, it's a flexible beam with a little pointer on it. So as you tighten the thing up, this beam actually bends, and it has a scale on it and a handle. So you can tighten that thing up. Pretty idiot-proof, pretty industrial, but subject to damage. They usually last a long time.
And not as accurate.
That's right. Depends on what you're doing. For most people, what they're likely going to use the torque wrench for initially is putting wheels on.
Yeah.
Because wheels are not good to come off. And also, especially with aluminum wheels, not a bad idea to put 500 miles on it and just recheck your torque, just to be on the safe side.
Well, so, and as a guy who's pulling wheels off all the time, you know, on newer cars and all that too, the new ones are junk. Like the I don't know what it is, but lug nuts are terrible, wheels are terrible.
They are.
And like, we are obsessed with torquing stuff. That way, it's your best chance.
Yeah.
Because guys that impact it on and all that, now you're screwing the next guy. Like, by far.
Yes.
And I am the next guy many times.
Yes. It's no fun being the next
guy.
No. And it's even less fun if you're the next guy on a dark and lonely road.
Yes.
Trying to get the thing off. That's not a good thing. So, what you would like for something like that is this type of a torque wrench. This is the next one up. This is a click type torque wrench.
Name brand.
This is a Snap-on one, yeah.
Not sponsored by Snap-on.
Not sponsored.
Not yet. Snap-on. Can you imagine that one?
Snap-on doesn't sponsor.
Oh, that's
shit.
Episode 100.
I got a free T-shirt once when I spent $1,200 on a toolbox.
That sounds about right.
That you're still paying off today.
It's about it, yeah. So this is a click-type torque wrench. As you tighten it, you'll feel the thing click. So you adjust it by turning the scale here. The downside of this type of thing is you must remember to loosen it off when you're done. Otherwise, it loses calibration.
They say that.
They say that, but this kind it is. So
I use mine as a hammer sometimes. It's still...
Don't use your torque wrench as a hammer. It's a precision instrument.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So
precisionly hammers.
Yeah, it's good.
This was the gold standard for a long time. Now we have a better standard.
And this one's actually mine.
This one's actually Dan's, yeah.
And that is...
It looks like it's used...
That one has been hammered.
That is
a blatant ripoff of a Snap-on.
It looks identical to my Snap-on one at home. Yeah. This one is good. This is called a split-beam torque wrench. This has an adjustment right here to adjust how tight you want to do it. It also will make a nice, distinct snapping noise when you hit the torque wrench, the torque that you've required. The nice thing about this is you don't have to back it up. They still recommend you getting calibrated once a year. I don't know. If you use it commercially...
I've had that one checked, and it's fine.
Yeah? Yeah. I had mine checked once, but I mean, you don't use it that much. But people that use them all day, every day, good idea. This is the... And these have come way down in price. When I bought mine, I'm sure I paid $350 or something for
it. I think
it
was $100.
Yeah, now they're $100. So this is taking over. This, for a starter torque wrench, this is what I'd recommend people get. It goes from 50 to 250, I think. Mine does. Yeah, 250. Yeah, because you want to have your torque wrench in the 40 to 80% of scale. So this starts at 50. So if you're trying to torque something for 50, you'd want the smaller one that I had before. Wheel nuts typically 90 to 100 pounds, right about in the middle. This is what you'd use.
Yeah, putting motors together.
Cylinder heads, stuff that's critical. And the nice thing about this is if you use a torque wrench religiously for things like that, you don't have to worry. There's particular things in every car. Volvo motors, a camshaft nut that holds the timing gear on is big, like it's an inch and a half or something like that. You're tightening the cam. A cam is a very high strength unit, and they're subject to braking. So if you put it on at that torque, you are golden. The same thing with wheels. If you put all the wheels on, you've checked them, put on the five nuts, redo it twice, anything happens, it's not your fault.
But the flip side to wheel nuts is if someone has over-tightened them, they can stretch, and then essentially there need to be changed.
That's right.
Like the studs themselves. Like that's when you see those guys just Like, man, I see it all the time. Guys are zing, 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 and then they go tick, 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 tick,
yeah,
tick, 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 and I'm just like, oh, like you think you're doing something, but it's worse. Like, everyone thinks. I mean, this is. I mean, a lot of people get it here, but like Danny, I mean, nut and bolt isn't clamping it together so much as it's stretching the bolt, and the bolt is trying to get back to its regular size, and that is what the clamping force is.
So tensile strength.
If you over tighten it, you've actually taken that yield, wherever it is, out. And it's junk.
It's not smushy?
No.
It is. So, like, if a nut and bolt, when you're tightening it up, you're thinking, oh, the tighter the better. But what's actually happening is that bolt is just stretching very small amount. And it's trying to get back to its initial size. And that's what's causing the clamping force. Not so much the actual tightening of it or whatever. But if you over-tighten it, it's close to when it breaks, typically. So that's a good thing to do. But if you tighten it to 99% of it before it breaks... It's like a spring. It's taking that spring out of it, and now it will come loose. And that's very common on wheel nuts.
You are absolutely correct.
And you never want to use a torque wrench backwards.
Absolutely correct again.
You can use it backwards?
Most you can't. Yeah. Some of them won't work backwards.
This one won't do it, yeah.
No.
But that one does.
And you also should never use them for loosening, unless you have a specific reason to do that. But that's exactly right, that you tighten it so the bolt stretches, and if you go too far, that's called the yield strength of a bolt. And coincidentally enough, downloaded, Danny's going to put it on for your pleasure, a chart that talks about the different bolts.
Oh, I thought it was a blue chew had to get in there for your pleasure.
It's just blue, yeah. And it's available if you want to download it. But it talks about the bolt markings. The head of a bolt is marked. Typically... most things have three lines on them. That's called a grade 5. Anything that's suspension is a grade 8, has five lines on it. And that is the most strong one that you're going to use.
So now as a question, why would you not just use grade 8 bolts for everything, Mer?
Cost.
Mm.
Absolutely. You don't want to take any chance. I mean, if you're GM and you're cranking out a million,
but also when you're building something, sometimes you want a bolt to be the shear point.
That's right.
So if you're doing something... you know, and it's forever or whatever, sometimes it's nice just the bolt will break and the part will remain or something like that.
Yeah, there's bolts and washers and nuts all work in conjunction. So on a fastener, yield strength is the first thing, how much it tightens. Shear, the thing trying to shear the bolt in half, that's the other thing you have to be careful of.
So when you're lifting a big block Chevy and you have a 4-inch bolt, like I do all the time.
You shouldn't do that.
See, this is one of these right... I know a lot. See, I feel like I just play a hack on TV now.
I'm shocked. You know the correct terms. I'm astounded. You know, yield strength, torsion,
sometimes
tension.
It's the old, you have to know the right way to do it, so when you do it the wrong way, you can justify
cheat.
It.
Yes. So always, if you're not sure, you can consult the chart if you know what the torque is. You don't want to damage the bolt. You don't want to damage the thing you're tightening. So use the torque wrench. Look up. The good old Mr. Internet has the torque for everything in sight, and make sure that you torque critical things. If you're putting a license plate on, I think we can wait.
You know what's nice though? So I actually wore it out with that Snap-on 3/8 little whatever impact, and then now I've got a DeWalt. And the nice thing about those, I believe they're like 120 or 130 foot-pounds is all they'll do with a brand new battery. So stuff like that, I feel like you could wheel nuts and all those things, even though you're not torquing it, it can't screw it up or whatever. You're fine.
And the other advantage of most of the electric tools now is their loosening torque is more than their tightening torque.
Oh, yeah, big time, yeah.
So it's got enough power to get the thing loose because it's hard to get a fastener loose initially because it's maybe rusted in place. That's another good advantage. And so, question for the internet.
Oh, God.
Here's the thing
Merce believes.
That we put never seize on a wheel stud.
Oh.
And they keep it from corroding.
Oof.
Another colleague of mine is adamant that you should never do that. It must be dry. So, we'll just see. I've always used it. I've always used a torque wrench. Have never had one come loose. What's your opinion?
Oof. I gotta say, I'm kind of anti never seize, but the reason is I'm not anti never seize, but I believe that you have to check the spec, because if it gives you a torque dry, then you have to figure out what the torque with lubricant or whatever is. Like when you're putting a motor together and they have the assembly lube, if you do it dry, it'll be wrong.
Different thing. I'm only talking about wheel nuts.
Well, still. Yeah. Never sees as like a lubricant as far as I'm concerned.
Right. But how does it work? It keeps the torsion, the twisting action, and it still allows the tension, which is the stretch of the bolt that holds it together.
I don't know, Dr.
Feel
Science.
Feel free to comment.
I feel like it's a video coming up. That's what we're going to do. Well, right. That being said, have you ever had a wheel come off?
Never.
Then you're fine.
I know.
So why are you asking these idiots?
Well, because, you know, I mean, a fellow that we had a disagreement with, and you had, you know, a lot of talk about that, different things like that, but I've never had it happen.
See, here's the thing. If you're, I mean, let's be honest, you're supposed to rotate your tires every second oil change, let's say.
Yeah.
If you're doing that, I don't think you need to never season and all that. But in all reality, most people are, they put the wheel on until the tires are skins, mm-hmm. and then I have to fight them off.
Yes.
So in that case, I wish the last guy would have put a little never seize on. But in all the training stuff you do and all that, they tell you not do that.
I know that. And I think a lot of it probably depends.
So this might be a disclaimer.
Yeah.
Don't be like Murr. We're not liable.
Yeah, we're not reliable. I'm not liable for nothing. But also depends on where you're...
Oh, Danny's done.
Danny's done.
She's out of the podcast.
Where you're doing your... where you're doing the torquing. Like, if you're in Florida, you lucky dogs.
Yes.
No corrosion, everything's good. If you're doing it in Ontario, where lots of times I've seen cars, you could take all five wheel nuts off and drive around the block, and the wheel is so rusted to the...
We do that many times. Many times we've done that, where you put a couple lugnuts on finger tight, and you just... try and break it off. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, the
like
amount
new
of
Fords and stuff like that. Oh, God.
Anything with aluminum on a steel hub, dissimilar metals, it is truly amazing how tight they can get on there. And sometimes you need the blue wrench to get it.
New wheels don't like that.
No. That's another don't do this at home.
Yes.
Wow. So, that's the... And just the last type of torque wrench, which are now getting somewhat affordable, is the digital ones.
Oh, yeah.
It has a digital scale on it, so you can be extremely accurate. Has a nice little beep, so if you can't see it, it's, and they're getting within the range of the home mechanic. So that's a good idea. Okay.
Hey, what's
so does this lead us to the final event of today's podcast, which is the surprise?
The surprise tool.
You don't have anything to say now? The camera's not on you? You don't want to admit to... a blunder or something like that now that's not on camera?
Not today.
Oh, what are we getting? I'm excited for this.
The internet's either going to like this or they're going to hate it, and I guess we're going to see.
That
so
is the internet.
Steve is very curious about it.
I know,
so
he likes this. So this is something not specifically automotive related.
Oh.
And
Steve, come here, buddy.
This is one of those things we talked about earlier where something... can be quality and not cost a lot of money. So this thing here is I bought it used mm-hmm. for $1.89, but even brand new from Amazon, link supplied maybe, is only $15. This is the best can opener in the world. this
is the sponsor we need.
This is the sponsor you need. This is Swing Away, which is the snap-on tools of can opener. You can hardly stand it, but you said I could do it.
What's good about this, Murr, is do you want to know how many can openers we have in our house? Because Dan is obsessed with can openers.
It's ridiculous.
We have 12.
Really? Yeah. Well, I don't have one of those. I'm going to tonight.
You gotta get one. This thing works terrific. The place that we rent when we go away for the winter always has a brand new dollar store can opener. They're terrible. Your mom can't operate them. And so we always end up buying one, or we take the one from home. So we've gone through lots of different kinds. They're all crap. I bought this thing, but this is a really good deal. This thing, it has a big handle on it, so it turns very easy. So people that have wrist problems, arthritis, anything like that, all you have to do is clamp it once. Turn it ever so easy, opens any can with nothing. Try it, make a comment. That thing works fantastic.
That's why Steve was so interested in it, because it smells like food.
And it's $15, available from Amazon.
I'm going to buy one right now.
In fact, this is the early Mark One version. The new ones, this little part of the handle folds, so it takes up less room.
Oh, so it's like, But I was going to say, that's the only thing, is it's a bit of an albatross size-wise.
Yeah, but it's so easy. Like, you can buy an electric hand opener, which takes up a lot of space.
Well, I mean, you know, it's one of those things let's Dr. Science this. So leverage. For every foot, it doubles or something like that? Like, if you have a 12-inch bar and it takes 100 foot-pounds, a 2-foot bar is 50?
Double. Yes.
Is that what it is?
Exactly.
So this, essentially, it would be double long, but you're also not grabbing on the edge. You're grabbing it right in the middle.
Well,
like when you're doing a can, you're actually basically grabbing the shaft to turn it. So you add 4 inches.
Right. And plus, it's a different motion. You're not using your wrist. You can use your whole arm if you want. That thing is the best in the world.
Well, there you go.
So now, having done that, go ahead, Internet. Do your worst. Say, this is stupid, this is a car channel, you should never do anything like this, get rid of Murr.
Well, no, and I'll wish take we had under a can advisement. Just to test it.
You know what's going to happen here, Murr? I don't have anything out here. I think you're going to lose a lot of people with the never-sees on the studs.
Yeah.
And they're going to be mid-angry comment.
Yeah.
And then their wrists are going to hurt because they're,
Right.
And then they're going to, Murr's going to pull out this, and they go,
open a can
son
of beans.
Of a bitch, maybe that guy knows what he's talking about. I do want some pork and beans, and now I don't have to hurt. This is right up there with like a Billy Mays, when you have those like infomercials at night, and it's just, how could I ever have done it before? Right. I feel like if someone's just, they're dropping the can, and
it's exploding everywhere.
There's Murr just,
well, yeah. I know you're going to order one from
Amazon. I am.
And you
swing away.
You just let me know. But that is one of those things that just does exactly
what
it's supposed to do and will do it many, 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 many times.
I have learned in my years that if you, whatever item you have, that if you talk about it, like it's a good, whether I use it or not, you just buy it, because if you think it's a good idea, then it has to be. If you think it's a good value, I know it's a good value. Like, I'm not wasting my $15. I'll probably buy two of them, to be honest with you.
No, there's certain things like that. If if it broke tomorrow, you'd buy another one. I mean, that will never break. But the things like,
well, it's a swing away.
Let's talk about podcast 5, my Keurig coffee machine.
We're actually out of time for today.
Oh, get the hook.
Well, there you go.
Thank you for your indulgence, Internet.
Yep.
Let me know, good or bad.
Yeah. And if you buy the Swingway, you got to let us know.
Let Murr know, support the podcast, buy Murr a can opener. And that's it, that's all. We'll see you in the next one. So cars are up. We got a bunch of Murr brought more stuff that we didn't even get to. So the next podcast we film right away. We're gonna start doing this during Mondays now, right? That's when they're coming
out. Yeah, we're gonna release on Mondays.
We're gonna try Mondays. We're doing them on the weekend for a bit. We're gonna try Mondays so you guys can listen. People are saying all sorts of great comments about listening on the way to work or whatever it may be, and it's like a whole new challenge for us, and we're gonna try and figure it out. So comments, concerns, whatever you guys have, please let us know, and we'll see you next week. Thanks for watching.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.